Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Welcome to What's Eric Eating, Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, we'll have a conversation about some news in the world of Houston restaurants, as well as a discussion about a couple of restaurants you may want to try. To do that, I am joined by my co-host this week. She is a freelance food writer whose work appears at Culture Map and other outlets around town. Brianna McLean, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good. I felt like you were doing a little radio voice there, and I feel like I should do one. Hi, Eric. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I didn't mean to do radio voice.
It was good. I enjoyed it.
Oh, well, thank you. All right. Let's dive right into the news of the week. Topic number one, Candente, which for my purposes, I'm describing as the only Tex-Mex restaurant in Houston to earn a spot in the Michelin Guide, has claimed the former Mandito space in Bel Air for its second location. I guess we should do a 10-second full disclosure that your boyfriend is the publicist who represents Candente, but I'm an out of the closet Candente super fan, so this was always going to be a pretty positive.
And I also enjoy it because my boyfriend Craig Lovati is a great PR person. No, I also really love Candente. Service is always good. Food is spot on. So it's exciting to see that it's expanding.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those rare times where like all of my like Bel Air, Meyerland friends were like texting and DMing me because, not to speak ill of a restaurant that closed, but they were not big fans of Mandito's. It's like a very kind of classic, old school form of Tex-Mex. And many of them have been to Candente and they like Candente because it's a little more contemporary. Everything comes off that wood grill. The fajitas are great. Like they use good beef. They use good pork. Everybody likes those brisket nachos that they do, the brisket enchiladas, the chipotle pork ribs. Their fajitas are excellent. Their birria tacos are really great. Like, There's so many, like it's a very thoughtful and very well executed version of kind of contemporary Tex-Mex, and there's nothing like it nearby. They don't have a Ninfa's or a Papacito's or an El Tiempo in the immediate neighborhood, so they were excited about Mandito's, but they weren't thrilled with the result. Mm-hmm. And they're stoked. They like can't believe that like they're getting a Candente.
No, absolutely. And I think it's just nice that it's expanding, you know, like you're saying, to a different neighborhood. We're always having that debate here in Houston, where are the best fajitas? So I feel like with this new location, Candente is going to get even more, even going to become more well-known throughout the city.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that's kind of worth noting is that Candente is part of Sandbrook's Hospitality, which also owns the Pit Room. Mm-hmm. They have a very successful rollout. They took the Pit Room to the Memorial City Mall area last year. Mm-hmm. And it's been a huge hit. Like the few times I've been over there, full parking lot, busy dining room, all that stuff. And so, you know, if they can replicate the Pit Room, which is, you know, fussy because it's barbecue and it's smokers and it's, mm-hmm. you know, kind of subject, like Tex-Mex will be relatively easy to replicate. I think that's why so many Tex-Mex restaurants in Houston have more than one location, because it's like a pretty consistent cuisine.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely. Yeah.
I have a high degree of confidence.
Very excited.
What is your favorite thing to eat at Candente? Just real quick. And then we'll move on.
I am a fajitas girl. I love fajitas. I love getting fajitas wherever I go. Maybe I'm like a child and I like to act like I'm in a all you can eat taco bar. I'm not really sure, but it's either the fajitas for me or, you know, just a good old quesadilla. Their quesadillas are very filling. So those are also.
Their quesadillas are excellent. I got made fun of by Raheel Ramzanali on the CityCast podcast for saying that adults should order quesadillas. He thinks they're for children. I disagree. Their giant burrito is like, you know, like Freebirds or Chipotle, but so much better. Mm-hmm. So that's one, if you've never had that. And then, you know, as a Jewish person, I love recommending pork dishes to people. So especially this show is coming out on Rosh Hashanah. So Shana Tova, everybody. Eat the carnitas. I don't know what it is about their pork carnitas at Candente, but they're really excellent.
That's always, whenever you can find good carnitas at a Mexican restaurant, that's always a clear indicator that it's a great Mexican restaurant for sure.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to topic number two. Tacos A Go-Go is mm-hmm. opening two new locations, one in the Heights in the former Lola Diner space, and a second one in Briar Grove / Memorial in what had been Killen's STQ on Voss. And we know Tacos A Go-Go, right? This is a staple restaurant. It's been around for a long time. I primarily sort of interact with the one in Midtown, mm-hmm. and I kind of think of it as like a breakfast taco spot, right? Like if you're getting, not that I work in an office anymore, but if I did, right, and I wanted to get breakfast tacos for the office, Tacos A Go-Go is a good choice for that. But they're open for dinner, and they have the picadillo and the fajita and the carnitas again, and you know, all these other ones. I don't know. Brianna, what do you think of Tacos A Go-Go?
The closest one to us is at 34th and TC Jester, so the, I guess that's Garden Oaks area. And I think it's really fun. It's kind of like a Torchy's taco, but local, which I love fun tacos. So, you know, it's not the legitimate Mexican food if that's what you're looking for. It's not, you know, if you want to take someone who is very picky about those things, you don't necessarily pick Tacos A Go-Go. But I like to take my two boys there. It's really, everyone's always been incredibly helpful and kind. And that's really important for a kid's plate, for a restaurant to take the children. But also, I love a good shrimp taco or fish taco. And so that's usually my to-go order there.
Yeah, I think it occupies kind of a space in between, right? Like it's more traditionally Mexican than a place like Torchy's or Velvet. It's not, you know, they're not nixtamalizing the corn for the tortillas or anything, but they do make the tortillas fresh.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of somewhere on that kind of gringo taco spectrum. Mm-hmm. Similar to the taco stand, right? Like maybe like even a little bit more traditional than the taco stand. But, you know, tasty and reliable. And of course, the real innovation for these two locations is that they're larger than the one on TC Jester, or certainly the one in Midtown, or even their current Heights location on White Oak. And so that's going to allow them to do a couple of things. First of all, it will give them the ability to sell family packs from their sister concept, Fajitas A Go-Go, which wouldn't be like in my list of like the top five fajitas in Houston necessarily, but like as a delivery option, as like a convenient dinner on a weeknight when I just am like scrolling the apps, like trying to figure out what to eat. I have enjoyed my meals from my delivered meals from Fajitas A Go-Go. So no shame there. and most importantly, you know, these were pretty substantially sized restaurants. So they're going to have more seating and room for a bar. And so they've reached out, they're going to work with Bobby Hugel from Anvil to do the cocktail menus for both of these bars. And now here's where your somewhat more limited time in Houston is maybe a factor. Did you make it to the Pastry War downtown before it closed, or is that before your time?
That must be before my time.
Yeah. So this was Bobby Hugel's Agave Bar downtown on Main Street, the late lamented. If you were a fan of agave spirits, margaritas, palomas, any of those kind of cocktails, the Pastry War was kind of the spot. And I'll never forget, you know, Bobby once served me a mezcal margarita with green chartreuse in it. That was like maybe one of my favorite drinks I've ever had.
Yeah.
And so the idea that like Bobby's getting back into the tequila bar kind of through Tacos A Go-Go is very exciting to me, because I know what he's capable of. And now you can get all those drinks at Anvil, and you can get, I would say, most of those drinks at Better Luck Tomorrow. But having them in a dedicated place with tacos and nachos and quesadillas, that's all to the good as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, one of my favorite things about Tacos A Go-Go, you know, like I said, I like to take kids. I also, you know, taking kids to a restaurant. It's also really nice that they have the frozen palomas and they have the frozen margaritas. And the first time I went, they gave me the tip to order it in a to-go container, which is basically like looks like a giant Capri Sun for adults. And so I'm really hoping that that continues, but I'm really excited to see it transform the Lola's space, because I always wanted that space to be really cool, because I feel like the restaurant itself has good bones, the building. So I'm excited to see what they do with that. And I'm excited to go check out the bar, of course.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, if you're a fan of the current Heights location on White Oak, the move to Lola is good for you, because the parking at that location is infinitely better than the one on White Oak. So, you know, that's good. And I think all of our Tanglewood, Briar Grove, Memorial friends are going to be really excited about having this, because, I mean, they have Torchy's and they have Velvet, but they haven't, you know, they don't have the taco stand. They don't have a Tacos A Go-Go. They, you know, Little Ray, the Fort Fry one that's kind of near Midland and Westheimer, like, you know, Good Company Taqueria even, like, they don't have anything that's kind of equivalent.
Yeah.
And so I think this is going to be a great addition to that neighborhood.
Well, and I've said this to people often, especially who aren't from Houston, is that we really love our locally owned restaurants. We really love supporting local. And so I think, yeah, the addition of this to a neighborhood that doesn't have a place like that, yeah, I'm sure they'll be successful.
Right. And I know Sylvia's Enchilada Kitchen is right down the street from there. That's that's a little more formal.
You know,
that's full service, higher price point. I mean, you can take, like, I'm sure you can take kids there. I'm sure our friends in Memorial do take their kids there, but this is a little more casual, a little more grab and go kind of situation. So,
yes.
You know, it occupies like a middle ground.
Absolutely. Fast casual, as I say, correct?
Exactly right. All right. All right. And then just briefly, I want to mention the fact that I wrote a fall restaurant preview with about 20 restaurants in it. You know, we keep talking on the show a lot about closings. You know, it seems like every other week we have another closing to announce. And like, I haven't even picked up the Dak and Bob closure, for example.
Yeah.
But I did want to, like, there is good news, right? It's not all doom and gloom. There are restaurants opening this fall and then into kind of January, February, March. So I wrote this preview because I saw, you know, some of the other publications around town took a swing at this, but they had, you know, four or five restaurants. And frankly, that's just not enough, right? I'm a maximalist. So I did 20. I asked you to look the article over. What are you looking forward to? What caught your eye?
You know, I'm excited. And it's really funny because when I got the press release for this, I immediately emailed the PR person and said, is it called 1111 or is it 1000? And 1100.
So I have to say, I've been calling it 1111 in my head.
It is 1111. And I'm glad that we can clarify that for everyone. So it's 1111, which makes a lot of sense. But I think it's a really fun location, you know, right there next to the historic Tower Theater. And then, of course, you know, having the Melrose owners partnering with Tatemo chef Emmanuel Chavez it'll be a new hot spot. You know how I feel about my cocktail bars and bites.
Yeah. I mean, I follow all three of those guys. I follow Emmanuel. I follow Army Sadehi. I follow Brandon, whose last name is very Greek and that I'm not going to try to pronounce. I follow all of those guys on Instagram. And I saw them all in Mexico City, like going to the same restaurants, taking pictures of each other. And I DM'd either Emmanuel or Army. And I was like, okay, this isn't for Melrose. What are you doing? And they were just like, you know, patience, bro, basically. but I'm excited to see the food at this place because, like, as much as I like the chicken tenders and the burger at Melrose, like, that's not, you know, that's not really much of a display of Emmanuel's talents, and it doesn't really tie into the food that he does at Tatemo. But a Contramar style roasted fish with red and green salsa on it, that looks very impressive, and they're going to do empanadas and they're going to do some other stuff. So I'm excited to see, like, Bar Doko is basically kind of inspired very directly by Handshake Speakeasy, a Japanese bar in Mexico City. And Mexico City is like, we talk about what a great town it is for eating. It's also a really great town for cocktail bars. And so it's not a surprise to me that more and more people are looking to that for inspiration. And so bringing some of that to Houston at 1111, I agree with you. That's very exciting to me.
Yeah. And of course, you know, I think too, it's people will be able to go and try chef's dishes without having to, you know, try to navigate booking a place at his restaurant. And that's also what's nice about, you know, a new Pinkertis opening up as well, is it's just always nice to have different outlets to be able to try these foods that are really in high demand.
Yeah. And I, you know, I have fond memories of going to 59 Diner back in the day for burgers and milkshakes, but, you know, that's a place that had been, that fell off and has been empty for a long time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and the original Pinkertons is very good, but also like pretty cramped. So I'm excited to see what Grant does with more space. And I'm kind of rooting for like the fun collab with Star Pizza, which is right across the street.
Yeah.
You know, like let's get the brisket pizza going, you know, let's get the smoked sausage pizza going, like whatever it is, like let's, you know, two great tastes that taste great together. And I feel like it's flying a little bit under the radar. You know, like they've been in the Texas Monthly Top 50 for three editions in a row, which is very hard to do. And so, you know, this is a restaurant that operates at a really high level. And there's kind of that, you'll see it on Reddit really more than anywhere else, but that like, you're either a truth person or you're a Pinkertons person. well, let me just tell you, you know, are you sitting down?
Yes.
You can like them both.
What?
It's amazing. You can say that they both serve really great barbecue.
I don't know about that. Yeah.
I know. It's unreal. But yes, I think again, you know, you've got the Pit Room that's pretty close by. And obviously Good Company has been kind of the 800-pound gorilla of the Upper Kirby District barbecue scene for longer than I've been alive, or more or less. A similar amount of time to the amount of time that I've been alive. So, you know, new blood in that neighborhood, I think, is going to be a good thing. And I think I think if you're Montrose, Greenway Plaza, West U, River Oaks, there's going to be a lot of excitement around that location.
Well, and we also have Eastbound Barbecue opening up, which is not super close to that location, but it's still expanding once again, you know, new barbecue places to go.
Yeah, we're like in a weird, like, we had not had like a significant new Houston barbecue joint, I guess, since JBRM opened a few years ago. But we're getting three this fall, right? So you mentioned Pinkertons.
Yeah.
Eastbound Barbecue is the former four guys who used to work for Ronnie Killen that are doing their own thing, and they've got a space in the East End. And then Willow Villarreal, who worked for Regals for a minute, worked for Ronnie for Killen for a little bit, worked at JBR, opened JBRM, is going out on his own with another concept in the East End. So that neighborhood is going to be very well sorted for barbecue sometime between now and the end of the year. And if you know Willow through either his work at JBRM or his pop-ups or anything else, when his food is on, it's really, really great. So that's kind of one to watch. Like if we're, you know, if we think about the kind of the cycles of the Texas Monthly barbecue list, right? They just came out with a top 50, which means that in 2 years they'll do the top 25 new. And so, you know, both of these places, Eastbound and Willows, like if they're running right, will be in the mix for that kind of recognition.
Yeah, that'll be fun to see.
Absolutely. And then just for me, right, since, you know, number one, obviously for me, Hipsy, the restaurant in the Hotel Daphne from Terrence Gallivan. Talked about it relatively recently on the show, but I just, you know, we know Terrence from the Passive Provisions. You know, Elro, I really liked. It didn't catch on necessarily and had kind of a short run, but Terrence is a really talented chef and you know, the pastas and the mozzarella cart and just everything else that they're going to be doing at Hipsy. I can't wait for that.
Yeah. No, we always need more good hotel places. I love a good staycation. We talked about this actually last podcast, so it's always great to see those restaurants.
Absolutely. All right. Brianna, I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurants of the week. Stick around. Anna, for our restaurants of the week, I want to talk to you about places. Let's start with local public eatery. This is a new Canadian sports bar that has opened its first Houston location in Market Street in the Woodlands. Just briefly, like, what were your first impressions when we kind of walked in and you got a look at the space?
You know, it's a fun spot to go if you're watching a football game with a bunch of friends, or if you even are just like meeting up with girlfriends after work for happy hour. So that was fun. It felt like a more kind of like elevated sports bar.
Yeah, it's not as obnoxious as like, mm-hmm. like there's TV, like there's plenty of TVs and you can watch the game, mm-hmm. but it's not like they're hanging from every square inch so that you can actually like have a conversation. You could ignore the football game if you wanted and actually have a conversation with people.
Yeah.
And the layout is good. You know, it's got the kind of, you know, there's like a bar area, but there's also like plenty of, you know, table height seating. Mm-hmm. They've got that big patio. It's covered. They had fans that looked like maybe even heaters for the winter. So I think they've done a really nice job on the build out.
Yeah. The outdoor space is really beautiful, but there are lots of little, like you're saying, like, kind of corner booths as well, where you can have a nice date and not be worried that, you know, whoever you're with is going to be distracted by either football or NCIS reruns, whichever happens to be on that day.
Yeah. We did have to intervene, or well, I didn't have to intervene. I chose to, when I saw that, like, it was almost time for kickoff on Sunday Night Football. And they had some random drama that because the Fox game had ended and they hadn't changed the channel yet. It's like, all right, come on guys. Let's like not muted TV show that we can't really watch. Like, please change to football. And of course, to their credit, they did. All right. We ordered a whole bunch of food, like way more food than we could have possibly eaten.
Of course.
What were a couple of your favorite things, from our meal at local public eatery?
You know, I really enjoyed the nachos. I feel like it's hard to find good nachos where the chips are, you know, not too soggy. I love nachos that have beans on them. There was a lot of really good flavor there, and it wasn't like it was just smothered in cheese. So that was really a delight for me. I know that's really basic, but I love a good nacho.
Well, and you know, I agree with you. I really like the nachos. I think the other thing that kind of stood out was the tandoori chicken pizza, which I know is kind of goofy, but like in that kind of sports bar atmosphere, it makes sense. You know, it was a little bit sweet. It was a little bit spicy. It was crispy, you know, thin crust pizza. Like that's the kind of thing where if you're meeting for friends, like split some nachos, split a couple of pizzas. That's really easy to do. And I thought that was good.
The enchiladas were a surprise.
Yes. Canadian enchiladas. We had to know.
Yeah. So local public eatery is, for those who don't know, it's a Canadian restaurant. And so when we saw enchiladas on the menu, we had to try them, and they were good. They were obviously not your typical Tex-Mex enchiladas, but I felt like they were a little bit lighter. So like really good to pair, you know, with a beer or something like that and not feel like you're about to fall asleep.
Right. I mean, I think what's interesting is that the chicken does not come inside the chicken enchiladas. It's grilled chicken that's chopped up and added as a topping.
Yeah.
So that's, not a traditional Tex-Mex enchilada, but, you know, chicken and cheese and tortilla and avocado, like, you know, it all works. It's all fine.
There used to be, when I lived in Boise, Idaho, there was this taco place we'd go to, and they would always put their the lettuce and the tomatoes and the cheese on the side of the giant burrito. And I was like, you know, this is supposed to go inside of the burrito, right? But hey, to each his own. It was still a good burrito.
But, you know, I do think, like, you know, not everything worked, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that really missed is we got this burger and it sounded great. You know, American cheese, onions, bacon, pickles, red onion, garlic butter, and a red chili aioli. It was really oversalted. Like it was just like tragically, unpleasantly, almost inedible, oversalted.
I'd like to go back and try it again, though. Maybe they were just having an off night. I was really disappointed by the Crying Tiger fried chicken, which seemed to be something that was kind of popular for them. But it it was just a mash of flavors, and the crispy chicken itself was nothing to write home about. I think I mentioned it tasted like something you could get at Trader Joe's almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't offer me crispy chicken and then have it not be crispy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and kind of the same thing, right? Like with the steak, it's like, you know, I know you're kind of rolling the dice when you order steak at a sports bar, but you know, we ordered it medium. It came well done. Like it's just, you know, it's just kind of a bummer, like, yeah. You know, and it's a sirloin. So, you know, it's already kind of on the leaner side. Mm-hmm. Like you need that, like when you cook it past medium, you just kind of cook the flavor out of it.
Yeah.
But you know, and then the only other thing is like, I think like the service was like very warm and very enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. It just needs like a little bit of tweaking,
mm-hmm.
You know, like you ordered a cocktail and everything is done on a handheld. And so our server was standing there like fumbling around, like looking for the cocktail that's like very clearly on the menu, but you must have picked something unusual because she couldn't spot it right away. It's just like a little more fluidity.
Mm-hmm. I will say though that I got the classic LPE martini. That wasn't the one that she couldn't find, but that was a very sufficient martini. It was
a very generous pour because it came with the sidecar.
Yeah. For $18, I feel like that's a steal these days. So I would definitely, you know, if you love martinis, this would be a good place to go. And it kind of felt like I was getting two for the price of one almost. I love a deal.
Yeah. And then we had that peanut butter cup for dessert, which,
oh yeah,
I mean, chocolate and peanut butter, you can't go wrong. Like,
nope.
It would be maybe a little bit mean to the restaurant to say it was the best thing we ate that night, but
it was.
It wasn't not the best thing we ate that night. How's
there
that?
You go.
All right. Any other thoughts on, so, you know, we try to be positive about this stuff, but like, mm-hmm. You know, for both of us, the Woodlands is a bit of a drive. So let me just ask you, if you were going to a concert in the Woodlands, like at Cynthia Woods,
mm-hmm.
would you go to local public eatery before the concert for dinner, or would you seek sustenance elsewhere?
I would go there before a concert. I think it's a great spot for that.
Okay.
I'm not looking for a 5-star dinner before going and sweating in the pavilion.
I don't know. That might be my excuse to go to like Good Company Kitchen and Cantina, or maybe mm-hmm. Fielding's Wood Grill, something like that. I don't know. I think it's a one and done for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand the context in which other people would want to go there.
Yeah.
Like for the game day, I mean the game day atmosphere, for the drinks, for the beer.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably the burgers are cooked with less salt for other people. but yeah, I don't know. No disrespect to our publicist friend who sent us there, or the hardworking people of local public eatery, but
mm-hmm.
probably not a return visit for me.
It's fair.
All right. And then just briefly, I want to talk about Musafir. We had dinner there recently. We tried the new chef's tasting menu. I mean, there's not a lot left to be said about Musafir. It has a Michelin star. It's an absolutely beautiful dining room. It's a very modern, thoughtfully executed Indian restaurant that just opened a location in New York. But I did wonder if there wasn't like a 5-minute conversation we had, because we also recently went to Le Jardinet.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if you had any thoughts on the similarities and or differences between two of Houston's 5 fine dining restaurants that hold 1 Michelin star.
I think they're such different vibes that it's almost hard to compare the two. You know, like I'm going to mispronounce it, but that's okay, because I feel like 95% of Houstonians mispronounce it. But Le Jardinet.
Yeah, I always say Le Jardinet, but I could very easily be wrong.
Yeah, I feel like I change my pronunciation every time. Sorry, I'm just a girl from West Texas. But, you know, it's a beautiful spot. You know, you can look out and see the statues and the garden outside. You're at the museum. Obviously, though, that means you have to deal with museum parking. It's not as intimate as Musafir is. Like Musafir, I feel like you can kind of, I don't like feeling like people are watching me when I go to a restaurant. I'm the annoying person that if you sit me like in the middle of the dining room, I want to be moved because I just I want to be hidden away while I enjoy my food. But it's definitely a spot where I would take, you know, like family, especially if I was trying to impress, you know, someone. It's great for like a business meal, things like that. Musafar, I feel like, is more special occasion type spot or romantic date night. The seating is incredibly comfortable. I loved the seats that we were at. And then, unfortunately, though, you are at the Galleria. So that is also a... Maybe they're both bad locations.
Museum Valet versus Galleria Valet. Yeah. Neither one is great.
Yeah.
And you have self-parking if you want them at both locations, but it's inconvenient. So you kind of pay your money and take your choice as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. I think Museum Valet is slightly cheaper than Galleria Valet, so it's got that going for it.
I feel like my car is a little bit safer in the Museum District than it is at the Galleria, so it also has that going for it.
You know, obviously there's not really similarities between the food. Mm-hmm. What there are similarities in is kind of in the storytelling, right? Like one of the ways these restaurants kind of set themselves apart is that they're going to tell you a little bit more about the inspiration for the dish. They're going to tell you a little more about the ingredients for the dish. They're going to have maybe a little more advice about the way that the cocktails or the wines like pair with the food, you know. And I know that's not necessarily, it's certainly not unique to Michelin starred restaurants. There are other fine dining restaurants that do that very well. But that kind of comprehensive experience aspect of the meal, it's more of that, you know, like, very consistent execution, very pretty plates. And then, but that storytelling levels of understanding, I think that's what comes to mind for me. Mm-hmm. But these are two like very outstanding restaurants.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and I think that's what sets, you know, a Michelin star restaurant apart from others is you have that high quality of service where, as you said, they're telling you about the dish. They're telling you the backstory. But they're also making sure that you feel comfortable. You know, you and I have been talking a little bit about how, you know, food and restaurants need to be accessible for those who don't necessarily know or are trying out a new cuisine. And I feel like both of these are definitely somewhere where I could take somebody and they wouldn't be made to feel like they didn't know what they were talking about or they shouldn't be there and they're in the wrong position or, you know, the wrong restaurant. So,
right. Or worried about mispronouncing something or calling it the wrong name.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't have to worry about that. They got you. They're welcoming. They'll teach you if you want to be taught and they'll let you mispronounce it without correcting you. If, you know, you have the freedom to be wrong and they won't scold you for it.
Yeah. And their wine pairings, their cocktail pairings, those are always really great. You know, I love it when you can go to a restaurant, say, and then give you suggestions. You know, they'll be like, what kind of liquor do you like? And then they suggest cocktails from there that they think would pair well with the dishes that you're eating. I think that that is just another way that the service is really elevated.
Right. My favorite trick for a sommelier is to, like, you start with one glass of wine and you go, okay, I liked this, but now I want something drier or sweeter or more fruit forward or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they come back and they give you that wine, the wine in your head. Mm-hmm. That's magic to me. I love that. I love that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And we did a wine pairing. We did the wine pairing at Le Jardiné. That's how I pronounce it. Maybe I'll just start calling it Le Jardy.
yeah. LJ.
But, LJ, there you go. But, we did the wine pairing and I took pictures of the wine labels, which I'm not that kind of person, but that's how memorable the wine was for me paired along with the food, which really shows, you know, that they know what they're doing there, which obviously we already know that Michelin knows that. So.
Absolutely. All right. Any other thoughts on either Le Jardiné or Musafar?
No, I just suggest going to both if you can.
Yeah. If you have them, right. Like Ferris Bueller, if you have the means.
Right.
I highly recommend dining there. All right. Well, then I'm going to say that does it for the restaurants of the week. Brianna McLean, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Join me on Thursday when my guest will be Jonathan Horowitz.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.